What's up, everybody? Happy Sunday. I'm George Mossy. This is the George Mossy Show. It's 90 Day Fiancé Sunday, season 11, 90 Day Fiancé, the OG season, episode 8. 2 months into this craziness, y'all. 2 months. Kara's going to come in. We're going to talk about this episode. This was a slow-moving episode, y'all. I remember I looked up and I realized that we hadn't gotten through more than an hour. And I was like, dang, this is a slow-moving episode. So we're going to get Kara in here. We're going to break. We're going to talk about this. Hey, Gigi. Hey, Jal. Shelly. Rombanks. Hi. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. So what did you think about this episode? I found it to be a little slow moving, right? Did you feel like it was a little slow?
It was horrible.
It was a little hard to get through. I really needed I needed Greg and Joan to be there. I didn't realize how much they were carrying the season on their back. It was hard to get through. So I don't know where we want to start. So I tweeted out earlier that there is a real throuple this season. So I did want to talk about the real throuple, which is Megan, Juan, and Jessica. Yeah. So they're actually a throuple, and Jessica and Juan are trying to talk Megan off the ledge because they don't want her to be upset that they essentially cheated on each other. I get it.
I get it, but I don't get it, if that makes sense. Like,
well,
if I found out that my best friend's husband was cheating on her, and that she was just letting it slide but didn't tell me, but I had suspicions, my feelings would be kind of hurt. I was trying to spin the situation into, you know, flip the tables, make it, if it was me, I would feel like she betrayed me, because you tell your best friend everything, good, bad, or indifferent, right?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Okay. So if you found out that you had this gut feeling that someone was doing them wrong, completely doing them wrong, and they insisted, no, everything's fine, and then you find out almost a year later, wouldn't your feelings be a little hurt that they didn't tell you?
Well, if you put it in that situation with my best friend, yes.
Yeah,
only because we share everything, and I feel like that's why we have to be friends for the rest of our lives now, because we know everything about, like, we could ruin each other. So absolutely, we have to be friends forever. So when you put it that way, if my best friend, who you know who that is, was doing something or this happened, and I'm finding out about it a year later.
Yeah, it would hurt your feelings.
Yeah.
Because, like, when they told you the dirt originally, like, all this bad stuff, you already have a bad taste in your mouth for this person. And then you get over it for them. And then you find out they've been saying hiding something to protect them. It makes it really hard. I mean, the trust level that you would have, like, you'll never be able to look at their significant other the same again.
See, I told y'all that it happened before with close friend of the family. They were in a relationship. It wasn't necessarily cheating. I mean, it was. It was more so physical. And then they decided to get over it. And then they showed up at Thanksgiving. And then all of us were looking at this person like, well, who's going to punch him, right?
Yeah.
Who's going to punch him? But they worked it out. So a lot of people are like, oh, well, she should just move on. And I don't think that she's mad that Juan cheated. I think it's more so she's mad that her best friend didn't tell her. And I...
100%. 100%. Because I know, obviously, my best friend's husband, okay? And I know a lot of dirt. I'd like to think I know all the dirt. And if he did something behind her back, I already have a bad taste in my mouth for him. But if he did something behind her back, and then she found out, and then she lied to me about it, it's going to be really hard to just brush it under the rug and be like, okay, next time I see him, we'll be good.
Yeah, I get that. And oh wait, Saf Bunny says she's just too involved in their relationship. Well, Jessica said tonight that it's not just her best friend. She said she's basically Megan's only friend.
Right.
And I think that what's making it a little more complicated because, you know, we have our closest friends, we have our associates, we have our friends, relatives, cousins, you know, people that are in our circle. When it's your only friend, the only person that you have like that connection with, it makes you feel like you're inside their world, I guess.
Absolutely.
So the fact that she's with one, and you have to remember also, because Megan did tell us this before, she was on the cruise ship when they met. She was also on a lot of the cruises when she went consequently to see him. So Megan is a little more invested because, you know, and with my best friend, she could go on dates and I'll never be there. I won't even
Right.
meet the person. So that's completely different. When you're physically there, you're way more involved than you should be. It becomes kind of your business. So
Absolutely.
it's a weird throuple situation because that's what I was like, it's really ironic because now we do have a throuple. This
Right.
that's well, Sap Bunny says that says they're not that close. I want to analyze that statement. I don't know if that means that they're not really close. I think that Jessica was afraid to tell her best friend because she was afraid that her best friend would feel disappointed in her,
Well,
right?
it's like I just said, like literally like I just said. So you had if I called you and I was like, okay, here's all the dirt on this is what's going on. This person's this, this person's that, this person's this. You already get this bad taste in your mouth, and you're like, okay, now I don't like that person because I have filled your head with all this bad stuff, right? Then later on, I say, they're not so bad. We're actually going to be together. And you're like, okay. So you try to let it slide. You try. But then you get this gut feeling. So you question, and then there's lies, but not just on their behalf. I lied to you also. And I've been lying to you for over a year. Over a year. That's a long time. And it makes it really hard to be like, I forgive you.
I understand it,
I just,
but
I'm very close to my people.
me
So
too.
like, I get very invested. You know, I get very invested.
There's a handful of people in this world that I'm that invested in, and my best friend is one of those people. Like it's my mom. You know, it's there's certain people I'm just really invested in. And
Absolutely.
I kind of see a little me and Jordan actually, because when I was younger, Jordan's old, but like not old, but like too old to be acting like this. But when I was like 12 and my mom was dating, I was a complete a-hole. I didn't want her to be
Yeah.
happy. I didn't want her to have love because I was under the mindset that you're my mom and that's it. So,
Right.
I want to talk about that Jordan thing later because I feel like Jordan, I do see me in her. I do see some of the way that the actions that she's taking is a daughter who doesn't want to lose her dad. But yeah, we'll get into that later. I've been locked
Yeah.
in radiation therapy. Oh, I'm sorry, Jamie. Yeah, Jamie's been in radiation therapy. We're wishing
Oh.
you all the best. I heard about the lump and everything. I'm just hoping that everything is good and you're gonna check in with some amazing news for us very soon. I've been really worried, but I've been following along everything you've been posting. I didn't bother you about it. I know when people are
Yeah.
going through things, you know, they don't need a million messages and people
Right.
bothering them. So I was waiting for you to come out with it so that I
Me
don't think I didn't. Yeah, I don't think I
too.
don't care. We care, but I know that
Very.
what you're going through is very it's very emotional and it's immersive in what you're doing. And I know you don't need all that extra noise right now. So I want to
Absolutely.
talk about Shekinah because Shekinah's back on here and now she's involving Sophie. We met Sophie before on their first time around, their first rodeo. And Sophie, who seems really, really smart, way smarter than her mom, has she said something that really affected me tonight. I wonder if this also caught you in the chat as well. She said that her mom has always put her relationships with men over being a mother to her. And that really affected me. Because I was like, look at this 16-year-old girl learning how to navigate herself through this crazy sick world. And instead of having a mom to help her navigate that, yeah, you're right. You look at Kara's eyes. Yeah. So instead of having a mom to help her navigate through life, she's basically still trying to raise Shekinah. And that really hurts because it's like she, as a 16-year-old girl, she's doing amazing, by the way. She's not pregnant, she's still in school. She has goals. She's taking care of herself. Like, imagine all of the things that could have went wrong from her not having a good, steady mother in her life, but she's still doing an amazing job. But it just bothers me to know that Shekinah, even now, is still putting Sarper over her daughter, because her daughter's like, well, this is not a new thing for me. She always does what she wants, and then how it affects me, that's collateral damage. And that really sucks to see that, because children need to know that they're important and that you're going to put them first no matter what. And I feel like she kind of really needs to stop putting these men, because she said something tonight that kind of irritated me. She's like, well, if y'all don't get along, I'm not going to marry him. And I was like, he's already here living in your house on a K-1 visa. You're going to marry him. Don't lie. Yep. Right? Like, don't lie. You go marry him.
Yep. I don't want to say I hope. It's going to be interesting if Sophie actually hates him.
I mean, she has a good right to hate him. I don't know what all she knows, but we know that when they were in Turkey, they got into an altercation and he took her mom's phone away. And in the process, some of her hair came out of her head.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I'm just curious if Sophie ends up not liking him, if Shekinah would stick to her word.
No. Hell no.
I would, if I was Sophie, I would actually say that I didn't like him for the first couple of weeks, just to see. I'd push that envelope so far it almost fell off the table.
See, I think that if she really cared about how Sophie felt, Sarper would have never touched on U.S. soil without her blessing.
Yeah, and that's 100%.
That's the real thing. If you really care, if your daughter is the most important person in your life, her happiness is the only thing that brings you joy, because this is what she said tonight. I'm not making it up. Then he would have never got here and moved in without her approval. And also, none of my business, but when Sophie's done with school, where the hell is she going to live? Because now she has nowhere to live. If she was living with her mom, she can't live there now. Like, why does it seem like Shekinah's always thinking about Shekinah and some man and not about Sophie? And I get it. Sophie has made a life with her dad. I think he's the more stable person.
I was just going to say, I bet she ends up going with her dad.
But
if I was Sophie, I'd be like, take me to dad's.
It's never too late, though. Remember we were watching Brandon and Mary, and Brandon's mom, she told us that she had problems with substance abuse and she had all these issues. But she was like, yeah, I wasn't there for him then, but she was making a conscious effort to be there for him now. And I respect mothers who do that. We are not perfect human beings. We make mistakes. We go through a lot. But Shekinah has still never made a conscious effort to be a good mom to her daughter. And it's like, what's stopping you? You know that she needs you. You know that she's only 16. And children need their parents until they're like 50. Right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you don't just wake up one day and be like, oh, I don't need my mom or my dad. Yes, you do. So it's like, why isn't she ever going to make this girl feel like she's important enough to be the number one priority to her? And it's like, I get that Sophie has been let down for so long, she doesn't even expect it. But that doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it right.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I feel like the boarding school is essentially just a babysitter. And that's why she did. Dad paid for it. And now she doesn't have the responsibility. She's a part-time mom. And that's only when she has to be. She said, I missed her so much. I wish that I could have visited more and blah, blah, blah. You could have, but you were spending all your damn time in Turkey.
Should have, could have, would have. She spent months in Turkey chasing after Sarper. If she put that level of effort in, and don't get me wrong, because I hate to say when a woman has a child that she no longer is a woman, she's just a mom. That's not true. She is still a woman and she does deserve to be happy. She does deserve to have a man in her life if that's what she chooses. But I think that the effort that you put in to have a man should be equal or greater to the effort that you put in for your children, right?
1,000%.
I think that it's an imbalance. Well, Safani says she's 10% mom. I don't disagree with that. I feel like she puts minimal effort into her daughter and then more effort. Well, her daughter said it. I don't even have to. Into chasing after whatever the current man situation is in her life. And I think that this situation with Sarper just shows that. She brought a man all the way over here on a K-1 visa before getting her daughter's approval. Not that she needs it. Again, Shekinah's a grown woman, right? She can do what she wants. We're kind of dealing with this with Mark, right? And his daughter's approval. But this is a minor child. This isn't a grown-up child. This is a child that cannot take care of herself legally. She can't get her own place. She can't do anything on her own without a parent. So it is important that this child is taken into consideration, because Sophie can't just say, I don't like what you're doing, so I'm just not going to talk to you anymore, because she's a child. She doesn't have the option of just Xing Shekinah out of her life because she's not legally an adult yet. She doesn't have that option, and she should be taken into consideration when you're making life-changing decisions. And we'll, it's a little different in the Mark and Jordan thing, which we'll talk about later, but this is not that situation at all. She was 14 or 15 the first time we met her, and she didn't really care for Sarper then, so it's like, why is he here now? Why didn't you mend that situation with your daughter before you bring another person in instead of fixing that?
Well, and she made the comment, my mom always has had boyfriends and I've always been put second. So there have been a lot of, like, that's one thing I thought about so much about being grateful for my situation and, you know, being married to my kids' father. Because I can't imagine just bringing random guys around my children. Like, that just blows my mind.
It's confusing. But it's even more confusing for a daughter, because daughters are the relationships they end up in and the men that they end up with are shaped by what they see growing up. So say, for instance, her mom is just bringing random dudes around. Sometimes they're nice, sometimes they're not, sometimes they're abusive, sometimes they're not. She's going to become numb to that type of behavior, because as a woman or a daughter, she should know a man should never speak to you in a certain way, he should never put his hands on you ever. Like, she should know that there's things that are acceptable and not acceptable. But if she's growing up seeing man after man after man, and obviously if it doesn't work out, these men weren't great, right? So she's seeing the low end of the male species coming in and out of her life. That could shape who she ends up with in the future. Because unfortunately, as children, you know, when we see relationships as children, we think that that's what a relationship is supposed to look like, no matter how imbalanced or unhealthy it might be. We think that this is the norm because this is what's happening in our house.
It's terrifying. My childhood best friend, she had three kids, and her and the dad split up when the kids were very young. She raised those kids and didn't even like start dating until they were all grown up and moved out. She just got married 2 years ago.
That's crazy, because I always say you are still a human being, mother, father, whatever. If you're divorced or widow, whatever, you still have that right. But sometimes navigating your children's lives and having that other person there, it becomes an imbalance that you can't keep balanced. So sometimes
it heavily depends on how you were brought up as a child. Like, if you experience sexual abuse or any kind of abuse from your mother's significant other, which, not my story to tell, but, you know, there was a lot of stuff involved, and she was terrified of that happening to her children, so she just didn't allow it to happen. I have so much respect for her.
Me too. And there are women who put their kids first, and there are women who don't. And I don't like to judge people, because a mom is still a person. Just because she's a mother.
I'm not saying if you're a single mom, you shouldn't date. I'm not saying that at all. Everybody deserves love. Everybody deserves happiness. If you're a single mom and you can date, good on you. But I don't think that you should have somebody moving into your house every other week and it be a different man every other week. I think that's a horrible example.
It is. It is. You're right. I can't disagree. It's not a good... Children are so vulnerable to everything that they see, right? Like,
but
any
I also
positive
don't
negative.
Think that you should just up and leave the country to hopefully go find the one and leave your kid behind while you do it.
Oh, you mean like the Thrumble did tonight? Like so,
the Thrumble tonight?
Yeah, they went to Mexico to try to make it work with their favorite stripper from Tijuana, who I actually love. I think Annie is an amazing, honest person. I think that she's been very honest about what she expects from them in this relationship. And I do think that they have a huge lack of communication between the three of them. Did you notice tonight that no matter what was going on, Matt looked scared? I think that Matt is terrified of strong female personalities.
Well, I think he's scared because he got whooped into shape because he didn't know that there was any freaking rules. And then all the rules got dumped on him when, okay, Amani, she's the biggest drama queen. The
She
whole
is.
crying scene, the it's all about me, blah, 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 me. And then when Annie says, I'm more in love with you than him, I'm here for you, she's like, okay, now I got the validation that I needed. Ha ha. I don't know if I should tell him about that. Now, if the tables were turned and she said that to Matt and then Matt said all the other shit, she'd be like, what? You guys didn't tell me that she's more in love with him. Like, she would lose her damn mind. None of this is, this is the worst scripted act I have ever seen in my life. This is horrible.
Yeah, I agree. I tweeted out that whoever was the casting director who casted the throuple is probably on the unemployment line.
They
So
should.
I was like, I'm pretty sure that they didn't keep their job after this because there's no real storyline to it. It was just
At
like
all.
we're in a throuple and that was it. There was no conflict, there was no ground rules or anything. You know how there's like a little script, a little storyline, they call it like a storybook editing line. There's nothing to go into it. It's just, oh, we're in a throuple, and that's it. And then watch it fall apart, which we knew it was. But it's the stuff that they're getting upset about is crazy because it's funny. Amani is the one who said that she was the one who wanted this. She saw the shiver. She loved her. Matt loved her, and she's like, we should be in a throuple. And it's like, if you're confident and comfortable enough to be in a throuple, I don't think you're gonna get jealous of the other person because you're the one that brought them in. And at the same time, everybody in it is human. I get that. But if you're the one that initiated it, you're probably gonna be okay with them doing something without you once or twice, right? You're
You
not gonna
can't.
go and
That that's not gonna happen. I mean, come on. You have a guy with two beautiful women, and you're like, yay, we're both your girlfriend. One's your wife, one's your girlfriend. You think that he's not gonna jump at the chance every time he turns the corner?
Well, yeah, and she should have saw that coming, right? Wait, Joda says the only one with the script is Amani. Matt is dazed and confused, and Annie is just trying to get everyone to relax. That is a very accurate
Yes.
description. Amani does seem like she's the one that's acting the best. Like, out of all the three of them, she's the best actress. She's not the good actress, but she's doing a good job. Matt
Yeah.
seems confused the whole time. He's kind of like Joe Biden. He Whatever's happening around him, he's just like, I don't know. Nobody briefed me, right? Nobody briefed me. I don't know
Literally.
what's happening. And then Annie is just like, y'all need to calm down,
Yeah.
right? Like, she's like, y'all need to just chill. This is just a TV show. We're not even really dating. Like, y'all need to calm down. Like, she's just like, y'all are acting crazy. And
And
that's literally what we.
she can't say in her culture that she's with in this throuple. Amani can't seem to understand that. But also, she goes and tells her family that Matt's her boyfriend, and Amani's upset about that. Well, what part of the culture are you not getting? It is unacceptable to be gay. It is unacceptable to be transgender. It is unacceptable to be in a relationship with anybody outside of male and female. So just because she doesn't go tell her family she's in a throuple, what the hell makes you think she's gonna go tell them that she's in a relationship with a woman?
See, I'm confused by this because she said that her family are very Catholic, right? Which I get that. I was raised super religious. I couldn't do anything. Everything's a sin. But she's also working in a strip club, which we looked up the reviews. They do some interesting things upstairs in the champagne room that we noticed for $200. We saw in the reviews. So the family is okay, or do you think, or third question, does the family know what she does for a living, or do you think that they know, but since it's a lucrative career, it helps everyone, so they have a blind eye to it? Because why would being in a throuple be bad, but working at a strip club to a Catholic family not be? Because I feel like it's not bad. I don't care, But like to right. a Catholic family, they might have an issue with that, right?
Well, I mean, when she comes in to pick up her daughter or her kids or whatever, and she's covered in glitter, sweat, and high heels, like, I feel like her family probably knows that she wasn't cleaning motel rooms.
Right, right. They have to have some sort of idea. Yeah. And I'm sure she's making a lot of money. She's extremely beautiful, right? Yep. So I'm pretty sure that if she told them she was doing a normal job, they would probably put the two and two together, like, well, you're making a lot more money than people who work those jobs.
But also, right? You're now filming a TV show. You've got cameras following you and this couple with you. What the hell do they think she's filming? How to make friends at a strip club?
Like, well, yeah, this is come true. On. They got to know what's going on. And I don't know how accurate this... We haven't met her family yet. Like, you know, we could probably get a better vibe if we met her family and we saw the way they reacted. Because, you know, we can usually tell when somebody's pretending to not know something and when they really do know. Because, you know, we've been watching TV long enough to know when people are acting surprised versus being surprised. So I think that the family knows a little bit more than they're leading on. I think that this storyline
is But I also think we haven't met the family for a reason.
Wait, do you think that we're going to? Do you think that they agree to it?
I think we will. I think we will. But I think it's all about a paycheck. The family's finally like, okay, just for one scene, let me meet this shit show you call people, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, whatever you want to call it. She is not coming to America. She's never going to make it to America. Literally, they were thinking about getting a divorce so they could marry her. They haven't even filed the divorce papers, much less applied for a K-1.
This is true. Well, yeah, they have to be divorced fully before they can apply for the K-1. Yeah,
also,
that's a whole process.
When you apply for a K-1, you have to have proof of your relationship throughout the years, right? Yeah. You got to have photos, and you got to have this, and you got to have that. So when Matt goes walking in trying to apply for a K-1, and he opens photos, and it's all
three of them
sex once in this on this one trip, you think that the embassy's gonna be like, welcome to America?
Well,
no,
I'm sure it would be a red flag if the person that you divorced is also in the pictures with the person you're trying to marry, because polygamy is a crime.
If I worked for the embassy, I would do nothing but watch 90 Day Fiance all day every day.
Well, it would be a very easy way to figure out who's faking.
Yeah.
I mean, the work is done for you. It's almost like, you know, when the police are investigating a crime and there were cameras and all they have to do is actually just watch the cameras and then their job is done. It's basically literally what 90 Day Fiance is doing for them. They're like, we already filmed it. You just have to go watch it. All of the answers that you need, we filmed already. Oh, wait, Chelsea says, my thing is Armani grew up in Tunisia, and she talks about how she had to hide herself, so she should understand why Annie hasn't told her family anything. This is true.
There you go.
This is true.
That is spot on.
Yeah, this is 100% true. Of anyone, she should understand what it's like. And one thing I don't like is when people really, really pressure others to tell their family, like, it, whether it be to come out of the closet, or whether it be to accept a relationship, people need to come to terms with things on their time. So when people are pushy about things, that really bothers me, because everybody needs to be comfortable telling, because say for instance, you tell your family and they disown you. So what if you're not ready to be disowned? And they're like, oh, well, I'm a secret. Maybe they just want to have a couple more months with their family before they disown them forever. You know, like you don't tell people when it's time for them to release information to their family that they're not ready to release. And we have to remember, Annie has a 23-year-old son. She doesn't just have the little kids. She has a grown adult son, too. This could be, you know, difficult information for him. Say, for instance, guys his age that are his friend find out that his mom is in a throuple, or find out that his mom...
But also, your mom looks like that. You're 23 years old. You don't bring your friends around anyway.
This is true. This is true. If my mom looked like that, I would make sure that everyone thought that she was no longer with us.
Yeah.
Like, I would make sure that, and if anybody saw her, I'd be like, that's not my mom.
Yeah.
That's not, because that's something that you would never get the end of, and your friends would always, you would have to always worry in the back of your mind, are they there watching my mom?
Yeah.
Because that would be my biggest fear.
Did you come to see my mom? Yeah.
Yeah. That would be my biggest fear.
Yep.
And I don't know. This whole storyline with them is annoying. I want to stick to the real throuple. Megan One and Jessica, they're the real throuple. They're the non-sexual throuple is what I call them.
Did you see the video, though, that Imani put out of all of her new surgical procedures she just had done?
No. What did she have done?
She had a BBL. She got her boobs done again. She got her tummy sculpted. She did all kinds of shit. She's like, I'm not terribly happy with the results, but I mean, once it heals, it'll be a little bit better. Come on. So what she's saying is she went on the show, she got her TLC money, and she blew it already.
She didn't need any surgery. She looked perfectly fine.
Nope, but she went and had a bunch of them done.
Just because you have the money for something doesn't mean you should do it. She looked perfectly fine. I didn't see one problem. Again, my eyes, not hers. I didn't see one problem with her on the whole show. She looked great.
Yeah.
Right? Like, perfectly fine. Oh, Sap Funny says she forgot her brain transplant. You would need to be on the waiting list for. But yeah, she didn't get that done. But yeah, I'm sick of the BBLs, Tracy. Tracy said not a BBL. I don't know what it is, but I'm not into those. They don't look natural to me, and I don't think they look great. Again, women's bodies aren't for me to approve of, but for me, I just think that there's nothing wrong with having a natural backside, right?
They don't even look when they're put in right, let alone wrong.
Yeah, just look disproportioned and strange, and, you know, it's not my body, so I can't tell people what to do and what not to do, but I don't know why they think that's what people expect of them. Like, why do women think that they have to get this done so they can fit in or they can be whoever? I don't know. It's a weird thing for me because I don't know. I mean, fake boobs or whatever, it's fine. I don't mind them. They look fine.
Right.
Whatever. But when you get the backside that looks so disproportionate to your body, it makes it look like, you know what it kind of looks like? Like, you know when someone gets like a growth in a place where don't have a growth and it looks like a weird growth. That's kind of how it looks because they won't have any waist whatsoever, but they'll have this massive back and it's like, it doesn't look realistic. Yeah. And I think what's even more...
They look like they need to go see Dr. Pimple Popper.
Well, that's what I was going to say. After a while, a lot of women, I remember Kay Michelle did it back in the day. She didn't want it anymore. And another woman did it too. And they have to go through these extremely dangerous, painful surgeries to reverse it. And that's even worse. Can you imagine you go and do it, then you decide you don't want it anymore, then you have to go and damn near risk your life to get it undone. I just wish that women didn't feel the need to change their bodies in such drastic ways, because maybe you feel that you want that now, but it's like, what if 10 years down the line, you wake up and you decide that you don't? Because a lot of women in the industry, in the music industry and in the acting industry did this.
Yeah.
They woke up and decided they didn't want it, or it started to cause them pain or discomfort, or it got infected. And then they had to go on a journey of trying to get it reversed. And, you know, your life is in danger. Every time you go under the knife for stuff like this, you're taking a huge risk.
Well, Jasmine looks like she had a couple of shoeboxes implanted. So that can't be great.
It can't.
But also, when you're going to do all these surgeries, I understand having a nose job and having a boob job and whatever you can to make yourself feel pretty, go for it. That's on you. But that when you're having your ass done, do you just not sit down for 6 weeks?
See, that's a good question, because in order to go to the bathroom, you have to sit down, especially if you're a woman. Women can't stand up and go to the bathroom. So it's like, can you imagine what that's like? And also, I like to sleep on my back when I go to bed. So imagine you can't sleep on your back for like 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah, and you
how
can't.
How painful that is.
You can't sit down. You can't lay on your back. How do you drive a car? Like, there's all these things that I don't understand. I was thinking about when Jasmine got hers done. I was like, okay, how does she go to the salon and get her hair done? How does she go sit and have her nails done? She just walk up and stand there? I mean, wouldn't your legs get tired from not... I mean, if I couldn't sit down for 6 weeks, that would be horrible. I love sitting.
I do
I love
you too. I'm literally doing it right now. I do too. Like,
sitting is one of my favorite things. I am on my feet for 12 hours a day. I love sitting. You can't take away my sitting.
Oh, Pineapple said she says she couldn't sit for 2 to 3 months. Wow. That's so what crazy. Did you do? How, do you just lean against the wall? Like, well, what did you do? Like, I'm so, yeah. I'm confused. I drive a car. I have to sit. Like, what did you do for that long? You know, yeah. Like, could you not sit in a car? Or did you get in the backseat of the car and lay across the seat, like, on your stomach? Like, that's crazy.
It's absurd that, the, to me. It just, I thought about that when she got it. And she kept saying how her butt hurt and all this stuff. And I'm thinking, my God, like, I just don't understand. I love sitting. That's like telling me I cannot eat, I cannot breathe, you can't sleep. Like, that's horrible.
All right, so we're gonna talk about the bisexual question. It came up tonight. Maddie asked Stevie if she was bisexual because she draws naked boobs. So I think that's a dumb question, first of all, because looking at a naked boob doesn't make you gay, straight, or bi, but whatever. That's just right. My opinion. Yeah. But he asked that, and she said something interesting tonight. She was like, my dad asked the same question. And, you know, so maybe this is a recurring question that she's been asked for.
Her dad asked it in different context. So that's what we have to look at. So when she approached her dad to tell him that she has her boyfriend, her man coming from Iran, she was afraid that the big surprise would be coming from Iran. So instead, she's like, Dad, I got something to tell you. And he just immediately guessed, are you with a woman? So it's not like he's like thinking she's gay or bi or anything like that. He's not thinking that. He was just being funny. And so because she jokingly said that, Maddie took it so seriously. Did he see something I didn't? I can't stand him.
I don't like him either, but I do think if you're marrying someone, you should know their sexual orientation or preference. Because remember, we went through this with Sophie and Rob, remember? Because Sophie didn't want Rob to know she was bisexual before they got married.
Yep.
And we had the same conversation, me and you. And I was like, I think if two people are going to marry each other, they should know if one or the other is attracted to more than one gender, yep. Right? I think that that's only fair. Like, you should know if they have an STD or if they had one or they have one that can't be cured. Like, there are certain things that you should know before you get into that. And I think it's important for her to just answer the question. And as she said it, like, why do people keep asking me that? Just say yes or no. For some people, it just is gonna make them feel better if they know, right? Because I kind of think he wants to marry her. I'm not sure because he made it seem like he wanted to tonight, but he hasn't. Like in any of the other episodes, he was kind of like, I just want to go back to Iran. It's so weird. And then tonight, he was like, oh yeah, we should get married tomorrow. So he's very confusing for me, right? He's very confusing. Yeah. I don't understand anything going on with him. He hasn't really said anything positive about the United States since he's been here, so I didn't think he really wanted to stay. But now he's saying that he wants to stay. And he wants them to save money on his adjustment of status to become a permanent resident. But if he becomes a permanent resident, it's going to make it really difficult for him to go back, which is confusing. Why would he want to do that quicker? I'm just confused by the whole thing. And then she told him to stop calling his mom because she cries too much. What?
Yeah.
What? Like, you can't tell somebody to stop calling their mom because that's their mom. Yeah. And, you know, that's a breakup thing. If you tell me to stop calling my mom, we're just breaking up. Because you're a crazy psychopath and we're never talking again. Because my mom is the person who decided to bring me here. You need to be thanking her, not telling me not to talk to her. And that's insensitive.
You can't be surprised that your mom cries every time she talks to you, knowing that you came to America and are probably never coming home.
Yeah. So any normal mother would cry. Probably not Mina. Probably not Jasmine, but any mother would cry. Like, they would be sad.
Yeah. And not Shekinah.
No, there's certain people who just don't.
Good mothers
will cry and be hurt that you left. Sarper's mom cried. He's 44 years old. She cried. Right? Because she loves it. Just like you're a mother for the rest of your life. It's a lifelong job. Once you bring that child here, you're the mother until you leave this planet, or that child leaves that planet. That's how it works.
Yeah.
So to tell him that he can't talk to his mom, I think is crazy. You know, and then I tell people all the time, before you ask someone to do something, would you do it? Would you stop talking to your mom and dad? Or no, her mom or her dad and stepmom. Would you stop talking to them if he asked you? No. So don't ask him to do that. You can only ask people to do things you're willing to do yourself.
Yeah, and it's easier said than done, basically. Like, she gets to see her parents every day if she wants to. He doesn't. So he's, in turn, talking to his parents. Either way, I still can't stand the guy. Go ahead and send him back.
I didn't think he wanted to stay until today. He made it seem really clear that he didn't want to stay. So I was really confused. I was like, oh, so now you like it and you want to stay. I couldn't tell. The way that it was going, I was like, he made it seem like a miracle was just not for him, which I understand. When you grow up your whole life in another country and you move to a country where it's so vastly different, you might not ever adjust. I moved from Louisiana to Ohio and I never adjusted to being freezing cold all the time. I never did. I was there for over a decade. I just never adjusted. So if this man decides he doesn't want to adjust to the cultural differences of this country, that's normal. It's a normal thing. Yeah. He spent 26 years living a certain way, and then he's been here for like 15 days, and you're telling him, stop calling your mom and suck it up. That's crazy.
Said, you know, she keeps saying, do this and do this and act this way and, you know, look this way. And he said it tonight. He says, there's so many things that have been thrown at me, so many different cultural things that I'm trying to learn. Like, and I get that. This is all different food, all different weather, all different language, all different everything.
Well,
that would be so hard to adjust to.
Going to the gym. He said he went to the gym every day for years. He was so uncomfortable. It made me uncomfortable, actually, the way he was acting in the gym, because he was just, and the woman, because, you know, in the gym, men and women talk to each other.
Right.
Right? Like, if you need help or if you're done, I've had people approach me and tap me like, are you almost done with this machine? I want it after you. Like, people communicate. He was so uncomfortable just with the idea that the women only had on sports bras. That made him so uncomfortable. So the idea that he is never going to adapt to that is very possible.
Yeah.
He's almost 30 years old. It's very possible that the way that he was brought up is who he is, and he's not going to be able to adjust to anything different.
Yeah. And then the way she tries to turn the tables on him when he's like, how do you feel that she was talking to me or whatever, she's helping me. She's like, well, how would you feel if someone was talking to me? He's probably the most loyal person in the world because he's terrified to look at a woman.
Like, yeah.
You don't have to worry about that. He's afraid he's going to go to jail if he looks at a woman.
And he would. Yeah. Like, that's it. Like, he really said, because he was like, if I was looking at her and she wasn't my wife, there's the major consequences for that type of behavior. So she pissed me off of that. But I want to talk about monthly HIV testing, because Aaliyah wants to take a monthly HIV test. But it's not just that, right? She freaked out because her toothbrush was sitting in the bathroom overnight, and she said that the vapors from the toilet, her words, not mine, they go through the bathroom and now are all on her toothbrush. So what, and this is going to sound insensitive, but at the beginning of their scene, she said that her and Sean had sex the night before. So Kara, that wasn't the worst thing she had in her mouth.
Literally.
Right?
Literally.
So I was so confused, because I was like, how do you have, if you're a germaphobe, sex should be the one thing you don't want to do, because bodily fluids and functions are the most disgusting thing that you're ever going to do.
100%.
Right? This was confusing for me.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. First of all, he cannot stress enough to the world that he is just not attracted to her, period. Doesn't matter what she does, how she transforms. If she's not Doug, he's not going to be attracted to her, period. But then you throw in the germaphobe thing and the little things that she's doing, which might be a big thing to her, are pushing him farther away. He's getting less and less attracted by the day. But I was thinking back to when they were on Love in Paradise, and none of this germaphobe shit ever came up.
Never.
So is that
Never
new?
came up. I mean, she did become a nurse. It could have developed when she became a nurse because, you know, they learn the sterilization process and those, they learn about germs and how, you know, blood bum pathogens and all that stuff can be very dangerous. And it could be that it built, like it happened to her and it got worse after she became a nurse. Because I know a lot of nurses and they're very, very clean even in their home. It kind of spills over into your personal life. Like when you go to their house, you gotta take off your shoes. There's certain things that they make sure are very, very clean and sterile. So I was like, maybe she became a nurse and it exasperated, it made it worse. Like she always had like a OCD, but I think when she became a nurse, that's probably when it got worse. Wait, Julie says, I wanna know why there's a doll on the bed. So they talked about the doll on Love and Paradise, didn't they, Cara? I
Yes.
remember him saying something about the doll. What was the point of the doll? I don't remember now.
It was some safety thing for her. Like,
Yes,
you
she
know, you have
slept with
your
the
baby
doll.
blanket. Yeah.
Yeah, it's. I think. Look, I'm just gonna be real. I'm not a doctor, but I think that Aaliyah has some issues mentally, and it
I
could
agree.
be coming. I think living overseas, being a trans woman in a place where it's very, very not accepted. I think that she has some issues mentally that she's struggling with. And I think that she's not fully, like, I think she's fully herself, but she doesn't feel comfortable in her skin yet. And I think that there's some issues and things, like, 'cause that safety thing with the doll, that could be something brought on by a feeling of feeling unsafe or feeling
Right.
cared for or unloved. There's a lot of different things that could go and stem from. But again, I'm not a doctor. I don't know
Yeah.
what's going on, but I do think that her issues and her things that she does, I think that there's an underlining cause. Because usually
Yeah.
when you see an issue, there's a deeper root to that issue. And I think she's got deeper things going on that a doctor would have to understand.
I agree. I agree completely. There's a handful of things that have been said and actions that have been taken that definitely make you think that there's definitely some underlying issues for sure.
Yeah,
But
I think that she it's taking a monthly HIV test.
yeah, that's
Cara, like
ridiculous.
monthly,
I
even for people
know.
that are extremely sexually active, they don't have to take the monthly. Okay, so even people who work in the porn industry for adult films, they have to take them on a regular basis. It may be monthly, but these people are having sex 20 to 30 times in that month.
Yeah.
Aaliyah's not having sex every day and not with different people. Like, there's no reason why she would need to take one every single month. That's what porn stars need to do. That's
Yeah, it's
crazy.
to me. It is crazy to me. But also, is that accurate? Is that actually what she does? Because she was so shocked when she saw that they were for sale. He says it's an at-home HIV test. Oh, really? Is
Oh,
that, can we get?
well, maybe in her
So shocked.
country, maybe she had to go to an office to get one done.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean,
But
that's true. That's true. I mean, because, you know, here in America, you can take a at-home drug test. They can tell you if you're
yeah.
on any type of drugs. You can get them at the dollar store. Like, it's
We
not even
literally have tests for everything.
yeah, they can tell you what someone is on based on their urine within an hour. Right, like we
Yeah.
can know. You don't have to go to the doctor to know if you have an STD or
Yeah.
hepatitis. You know, like you can know on your own. I remember back in the day when AIDS was a huge deal, you had to go to a hospital because I've watched all the documentaries. They had to go to a clinic or a hospital and get their blood drawn, and it took weeks before
Yeah.
anybody even knew it. We're definitely past that.
Yeah.
You would know within a day. So yeah, I think that maybe. She might have been, well, she also worked in a hospital. It's very possible that she was getting the blood test done at the hospital because she worked there. That could be too. So she didn't even
Yeah.
know that she could have been doing it at home. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think that she's being very dramatic because I think she screwed up by agreeing to an open relationship. I don't think she ever wanted the open
No.
relationship, but I think she bit off more than she can chew by being in the open relationship, because once they get married, he straightforward said, I don't want to be with a woman. So if I'm not sexually satisfied,
he wants to be with him. Yeah. And she said that she doesn't want to be limited to not being able to finish her transition. She doesn't want him to say, well, I don't want this, because she wants to be the one that decides if she continues her transition. So I don't understand what they're doing together. I don't understand.
So it's she wants her cake and eat it too. So she doesn't want to be with Sean. She's not, I don't think she's in love with him. I think he's just a green card and a ticket to Hollywood.
She said tonight, she was like, oh, we were just friends at first, and then I started to fall in love. And I found that statement really weird, because I always felt like Sean was more in love with her than she's in love
with
him.
In the beginning of Love in Paradise, that's how I felt. This season, I feel like there's nothing there.
I feel like Sean is doing her a solid by getting her a green card. That's the vibe that I get. Yeah. Like, he was like, well, I used to love Douglas. Douglas is no more. He's like, but I do still love this woman as a person, right? Yeah. He's like, I cared for Douglas, so I care for her. Yeah. I'm going to do her a solid, and I'm going to get her a green card and let her get a better life. I feel like that's what he's doing, which is very admirable. He didn't have to, right?
But
he didn't have
to. Like, he's not rushing to introduce her to the family. I'm sorry, but if the love of my life was in a different country and I fought like hell for years to get them here, you bet your ass, you get off that plane, I don't give a shit how tired you are, we're going to go meet everybody. I got to show you off. That would be me.
All hell is going to break loose, because he said that he has children and these children don't know what's going on. And we met Jordan, and Jordan, when Jordan found out that there was a contender for her dad's fortune, right? Whatever he's leaving behind. He owns a plane that has to be worth something. Like, when she found out there was a contender, she brought out all the stops, the boxing gloves. She was ready to fight. It was her and Mina, and she made sure that nobody was going to stand in the way. So Sean's kids are going to raise all type of hell, because Sean is living in a big, big house that he can rent out for almost $10,000 a month, which he had rented out before. This man is not broke. So whatever his children are expecting to get, they're going to be very upset to know that there's a third person now in the mix of their money. They're not going to feel very happy with the idea. And not only that, they're only going to find out a few weeks before they get married. That's going to make it even worse.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I wonder how old his kids are.
I want to know, too. I want to know how they are, what their lives are like, if they're dependent on him.
I mean, because he's 62, so the odds of them being in their 40s is pretty high.
It's very high.
Yeah.
And there could be grandkids involved. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of moving pieces.
Yeah.
And he's just playing it cool. Like, oh, yeah, I brought it here on a K-1. I'll tell them when I get ready. You got 90 days, sir. Like, it's not when you get ready. 3 months is very quick. Very, very quick. Like, you don't really have time to soften the blow. The longer you wait, the worse it's going to get.
Also, I mean, can you imagine telling your kids and then being, and if there are grandkids, which I'm sure there are, telling your kids, well, this is your grandma, your 20 whatever year old grandma. That's going to be interesting.
Well, it's going to be a Jordan 2.0. His kids are basically going to make this a living hell for him, which they should, because he should have told them. Your children, it goes back to the Shekinah thing. Your children should be important enough to be informed of what the hell you're doing, right?
Absolutely.
Regardless of how old they are, whether they're 16 like Sophie or 44, they should still know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because they're still your children, regardless of if you're leaving them $1 million or a dollar, they should still know that you're overseas pursuing somebody to marry. They should know that. What if you went overseas and something happened and you never came back? They wouldn't even know how to explain what you were doing over there because you didn't tell them.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I know. It's crazy. So Mina apologized tonight to Jordan, but she did at the end of the episode say that she's not okay with signing a prenup. She made it seem like she was. She actually, which was weird to me, because Jordan was like, you owe me an apology. But Jordan didn't apologize, which was crazy to me.
Oh, okay. I know that I said that I didn't feel like Jordan was overstepping.
Okay.
But tonight, just listening to Jordan talk, I realized how much I cannot stand this girl. She is an entitled little shit.
Told ya.
And simple. But that doesn't make me like what's her face anymore. I can't stand her. Mina.
But Mina is a scammer, but I feel like Mark is letting her scam him.
Absolutely.
I don't feel like...
And bringing his mom to be the middleman, that was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So now, is Jordan invited to the wedding now? Tell me yes. I'm still not coming. Sorry.
I'm
not having
like
my grandma come and break the ice between me and my new stepmom.
Jordan is, I call her a tyrant. She's a tyrant because she is making sure that her father is not happy. And I don't know if it stems from, I don't know why he divorced her mom. I don't know. It could have been a cheating situation. I don't know. But she doesn't want Mark to be happy. I don't know if it has to do with the fact
that she died.
Well, I don't remember. Did she die?
Pretty sure. I'm going to have to go back and watch the first episode because I'm pretty sure that he said that she passed away.
It could be because he was dating for a while. Because remember, there were other girls. And actually, we found out tonight, there's another girl that he was dating named Jade who also seems to be of the darker complexion that he was talking to around the time that he was messing around with Mina. So I wonder how this is going to change things because clearly he has a type. I don't care about that. That's fine. He has a type. But why are you two-timing these women? And it looks like Mina's going to go and speak to this woman, which I think it's messy, but it's also necessary. Because if you can't marry someone thinking that they wanted their ex back, but the ex said no, so they're marrying me, you need to know that wasn't the case. Because it kind of looks like he tried to get back with the ex. The ex was like, I'm tired of you. And then he was like, well, I'll just marry her. Because you don't want to marry anybody because you were second choice.
Right.
So it is necessary for them to have that conversation because she needs to know before she marries him that she's just not, I'll settle for Mina because I couldn't get Jade. Yeah. Right? Like, she needs to know that.
Yeah. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I can't wait to see her meet next week.
Also, Gina says there's no photos or videos of Jordan's mom at her engagement. So, yeah, that probably means she passed.
I think she did, if I remember right. But I could be very wrong. I could be very wrong. Maybe they just divorced. But I thought for sure.
Well, I couldn't remember. I know that she saw pictures of her in the house. And that would make even more sense why he kept the pictures up.
Yeah.
Because not only, first of all, it's his kid's mom's, he should, but if she's no longer here, those are memories of the mom and the children, them together as a family. So those pictures have to stay up.
Yeah.
Because that person is no longer here. And you can't just say, oh, we're not together anymore. Y'all didn't break up. She left this world.
I don't want to give misleading information because I don't know. I don't know for sure, but I thought that's what I remember. I could be very wrong, but I'll check it.
Yeah. Let's check to be sure. I do remember him talking about his ex. Mm-hmm. Like, they wouldn't show her face. I remember them showing, like, pictures and her face was blurred out. That made me think that she was alive. But it could be that her living family was like, no, she didn't. She's not here to say you can use her face on the show, so don't use it. That's very possible, too. They're like, you can't have her permission. Obviously, she's not here to give it, so don't do it. So it could have been that situation as well. So, well, some people are saying they thought divorce. I thought divorce, but the fact that she wasn't at the engagement party for her daughter would be weird.
Yeah, that is strange.
She should be there because it didn't say that they didn't get along. I don't know. But Jordan is trying to make this not happen, which I see myself in her. I did that for my mom when she was trying to date when I was younger. And then when I got older and became an adult, I realized that I was wrong. So I was like, yeah, she's my mom, but she's also a human being and she has the right to be happy too. Like her life isn't raising kids. That's not, because if her and my dad worked out, she would have been with him. And I wouldn't have had a problem with it. So it's not fair for me to say, oh, well, if it's not my dad, it's no one.
Yeah.
That's not fair. And I kind of feel like Jordan, I don't know what her situation is. I don't know why she doesn't want her dad to be happy. I get that she's younger, and I get that, you know, she's not the most likable person.
She's a right? Mina's not horrible human.
Yeah.
She's a horrible human.
She's mean. She's not the most likable person. And, you know, she approaches everybody in a way like, you're deplorable. Like, either you like me or not, but I'm going to do what I want to do, whether you're there or not. It's difficult for you to love someone and grow to accept someone when they're so mean and nasty and cocky and self-centered. You know, it's hard. It would be, if she had a different attitude, it could have been possible Jordan took a liking to her. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think Jordan would have hated anyone that came into her dad's life. I do believe that, but I think Mina
I feel like if she was from America and she was not such a bitch, then Jordan may have been like, yeah, you know, I wish you guys the best, blah, blah, blah. But the fact that he had to bring her over to get a green card and all, you know, all the other things, we all know she's here for his money. So,
oh, yeah.
That's
pretty clear. It's pretty clear that she found a man, older than middle-aged man, and got pregnant. And I hate to say that because he got her pregnant. I don't like to put blame on a woman. They got pregnant together. But I think it was part of her plan to hook him by getting pregnant. I think so. But at the same time, I can't say that she got pregnant because, he participated willingly. They got pregnant together. But I think that she didn't mind that happening because it was going to make this plan work smoother.
Sealed the deal.
Yeah, because when you have a child, that man is on the hook.
Yep.
You know, and the laws have caught up with us. So you can't, there's no excuse for you not being a financial provider for your child anymore. The laws, it took time for the laws to catch up, but the laws are fully here. They're in 2025 with us. If you made a baby and you're a man, you will take care of that baby. They are not playing with y'all anymore. Yeah. 20-something years ago, y'all figured out ways to weasel your way around shit. You're not doing that anymore. The IRS is involved, okay? You're going to take care. And she knows, no, even if there's a ocean between this man and that baby, he still has to take care of it. And she knew that.
Yep.
And two babies would make the deal even sweeter, right?
Absolutely.
It would double the money. And, you know,
from $5,000 to $10,000 a month. Just
exactly.
Like that.
And you know what? I respect her. I don't hate the player. I hate the game.
I don't respect her.
She's playing the game and she's winning the game. Just like in the casino. If you go in the casino and you play the game right, you'll walk out with a lot of money. I respect a good poker player. And I feel like she's a good scammer. She found the sucker and she hooked him. He was looking. He has a type. He likes a beautiful black tall woman. And she capitalized. She's like, I'm his type. So I can get him to do whatever I want him to do. And she won. She played the game right and she won.
But she's such a bitch.
She is. And he might like that. Like, look at Jasmine and Gina. We kept saying from the beginning, why does Gina want to be with her?
Yeah.
I think he kind of liked that she was a bitch.
Yeah.
Some men like that for some weird reason.
I don't know. I lost a lot of respect for Mark, though. Every time we turn around, Mark's like, I just don't even want to talk about it anymore. I don't want to be a part of this. I don't want to. Well, like, guess what? You're the reason.
Like, this isn't a situation you created, sir. Yeah. Like, they're mad at each other because of you.
Literally.
These women have no link to each other outside of you bringing them together. So you don't get to wash your hands of the problems that you created. I don't like that, where men are just like, you women need to fix it. No, you need to be a part of it too, right?
You're in your freaking 50s. Quit sending your mom over to do your damn dirty work.
I don't like him. And I just hope Maria is getting the attention that she needs, because I kind of feel like everybody in the situation is really self-centered and worried about Maria.
She is sure not getting the attention she deserves on this show at all.
I think that she needs to be taken care of, and that's where the interest should be shifted. Everybody's worried about everything except the most important part, that little girl. Yeah. That's the most important part of all of this.
Yeah.
Money, businesses, all that shit is not important when it comes to that little girl having parents that love each other and a family that isn't dysfunctional, because she deserves that.
Absolutely.
All right, so Tomorrow is part two of the tell-all for The Last Resort.
I'm so excited.
I'm excited too. So part one has caused waves across the universe. I can't go nowhere or open no app without seeing something about this tell-all. It is just crazy. There's like a huge cultural divide with Team Jasmine and Team Rob and Team J. There's just, I can't even keep up with all the insanity that this tell-all has brought. So tomorrow's part two. There's only three parts.
Yeah.
I'm gonna check and see how long it is. I know part one was only an hour. Part two might only be an hour, and then I think part three is supposed to be 2 hours.
I'm
But
so
we're
ready.
gonna do an immediate recap after it's
Yep.
over, and talk about it. And yeah, we'll be back to talk about 90 Fiancé episode 9 next Sunday as
Wait,
well.
does
Also, if y'all are watching,
Diaries start tomorrow also?
wait, is tomorrow? Yeah,
Is that
Diary comes on after the tell-all tomorrow. So yeah, we're also going to be talking about some of the Diaries episode because there's some stuff in there that happened that I'm interested in.
So
Not
wait,
the
are we gonna wait until after the tell? Are we gonna watch Diaries afterwards? Or are we gonna do Diaries on Tuesday?
Oh, that's a good question. Let's talk about it and
Okay.
check schedules. I think we should
Sounds
be able
good.
to we'll check schedules.
Okay.
But yeah, because Diaries is an hour long. Yeah, so it's going to be a little different. And we might need more time, depending on the tell-all. It might take up all the time. So
Yeah.
yeah, we might have to split it up
Okay.
and talk about different ones on different nights. There are some fun stories in there, too, like Ziyed supposedly cheating on Rebecca, and she's like private eyeing again, which is interesting. And then Libby says they're moving to Moldova, which they're not, but we'll watch it anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's some stuff in there I want to talk about. But make sure you're following Kara. I'm going to tag her in this video. Make sure you're following me on all social media platforms at George Massey, georgemassey.com. Anywhere get your podcast, type in the George Massey Show. And we'll be back tomorrow. Ooh, it's late. Thanks for staying up late with us. And we'll be back tomorrow to talk about The Last Resort. Bye.
Bye.